Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. Today, we're going to dive into the issues of providing complex overhaul and repair capabilities to the Canadian Royal Navy and the commercial shipping industry on the West Coast. We've got a very special guest joining us, and he knows quite a bit about that. So I'd like to welcome to the show Chris Earle, who is Vice President Project Delivery with Victoria Shipyards Seaspan. Chris, welcome back to Vanguard Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
So why don't we jump right in? I mean, you've had a long career. You've been working with people and in service programs for a number of years. Why don't you tell us about your professional journey that brought you into Seaspan Victoria Shipyards?
Well, I mean, it's been quite a career, and which spans about 35 years. I started in Alberta, basically when I was in high school, growing up on a farm. Made the decision to go to the Royal Military College and join the Royal Canadian Navy. Got interested at the end of my university. Got interested in submarines. Became a submarine engineer, spent 20 plus years doing submarine engineering, supporting vessels at sea and ashore, and then ultimately got into the higher levels of the Royal Canadian Navy, where I was responsible for running a fleet maintenance facility, managing the thousands of people that basically work hard every day supporting the fleet of ships and submarines here in Canada. And then ultimately, after 35 years with the Navy, I left and joined Seaspan. And my role now with Seaspan is very similar to some of the senior roles that I had in the Royal Canadian Navy. And I'm lucky every day to be able to work with thousands of great people providing complex repair and overhaul capability on the West Coast.
Well, it's certainly quite an adventure from the farm to the Royal Navy. I noticed that you have the moniker as being called the submarine guy. How did you earn that? Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I think I did an interview about, I don't know, I guess it was about a year ago now. And the individuals that were doing the interview and putting the piece together decided that, you know, 20 odd years in submarines, supporting submarines, and the one guy within Seaspan Shipyards that kind of had that experience and that knowledge, that I should be coined the submarine guy. And there's a lot of folks within Seaspan that get a kick out of that. I'm not sure that that I'm the only submarine guy, but I guess if it makes everybody happy, then all the power to it.
Well, you've definitely been involved with the Canada submarine program from many different sides and angles. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Seaspan's history as a trusted partner in Canada's submarine maintenance and sustainment program.
Sure. So, you know, I think as many of your listeners are aware, Canada bought the Victoria-class submarines used from the United Kingdom. The Victoria-class had seen previous service as the upholder class with the Royal Navy. And when the class was brought into service in Canada, Canada sought partners to help conduct the deep overhauls and upgrades that are required for a complex vessel like a submarine. And in 2005, the first extended docking work period was done by the fleet maintenance facility here in Victoria, and Seaspan was called upon to be a partner and support that activity. A couple years later, the Victoria in-service support contract was let. That was won by a consortium of companies led by now Babcock Canada, with two key partners, Seaspan being one of the partners and BMT being the other. And over the last 15 years, Seaspan has happily and very proudly provided support to the Royal Canadian Navy and the Submarine Service in the complex repair and overhaul of our submarines.
So C-SPAN actually provides a number of services for a variety of different types of vessels, not only for the Royal Canadian Navy, the Coast Guard, but as well commercial customers. What's unique about working on submarines from a maintenance and sustainment perspective?
Well, I think, you know, the way I always describe a ship to those who may not have had the opportunity to spend time at sea in a ship or supported one from ashore is, you know, if you think of a city, a ship or a submarine basically has all of the things that a city would have to support basically people, you know, on that platform for an extended period of time. So anything from, you know, power generation through to sewage and fresh water, food, you know, places to eat, it's all within a ship. And what makes submarines so complex is submarines tend to be, you know, on the scale of things, tend to be fairly small. So everything is contained in a relatively small footprint, and that results in kind of very large complexity when it comes to how the systems are laid out. And when you go to maintain those systems, you know, you have to basically deal with that complexity. What else makes submarines unique are the unique quality assurance requirements. So, you know, a submarine is essentially a spacecraft, but it operates under the water, vice in outer space. And so it's a safety sensitive environment. Small mistakes matter and can result in the loss of the submarine and her crew. And so the quality assurance requirements for a submarine are comparatively high when compared to other marine work. The other, you know, kind of key differentiator for a submarine is the amount of time it takes to complete a refit. You know, people think a ship kind of comes into the dockyard, into the shipyard, and a couple of weeks later it comes out. And that is true for very large commercial ships. But for a submarine, because of the unique safety requirements, because of the unique quality assurance requirements, the time it takes to break down those complex systems that I discussed previously, make sure that they are put back together properly, that they function correctly, and that they can sustain those operations for a 9 to 10 year period, drive the time of the refit into years rather than weeks or months.
Yeah, I think that's an important aspect. Chris, I want to talk a little bit about Team Victoria class. How is C-SPAN, along with your partners Babcock and BMT, providing value for Canada through this program?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, Team Victoria class, so the three partners over the last 15 years, they've built a level of knowledge and experience for submarines that simply did not exist previously in industry in Canada. And so there are hundreds of engineers, hundreds of tradespeople who, after 15 years of supporting the Victoria class, are now knowledgeable and experienced in doing submarine maintenance, dealing with the complex systems, dealing with the submarine quality assurance requirements and material certification. So I think that's, you know, that's kind of one thing that I'd like to highlight. The second thing that I'd like to highlight is that over, you know, the duration of the Victoria in-service support contract, there's been significant investment in submarine specific infrastructure, tools and test equipment. And through that investment, Canada has the ability to maintain the Victoria class, to install upgrades in that class of submarine, and to maintain a safe and effective submarine for Canada and for the Royal Canadian Navy. And then, you know, the last thing that I'll highlight is the building of what I call a North American supply chain. So when the Victoria class was purchased by Canada in April of 1998, the Victoria class, then the Upholder class, was built and maintained in Britain and the United Kingdom. And so the supply chain, so the various parts and pieces to support that submarine, all were sourced in Britain and in Europe largely. 15 years later, through a lot of time and effort and investment, the majority of the Victoria class parts and pieces that are needed on a daily and weekly basis are sourced here in North America. And the processes to maintain that submarine are also now established to North American standards. So those would be the three things that I would highlight.
Yeah, the other area I'd like to delve into, I mean, technology is just, you know, changing so quickly. And that's probably playing a pretty big role within your industry. How is C-SPAN utilizing technology and innovation in its skilled workforce to service Canada's fleet?
Well, probably the biggest area, which is probably worth talking about, is in the area of welding. So submarine welding is probably the most complex of welding, you know, and it's almost in line with kind of what the nuclear industry requires in terms of quality and documentation and process. And so you can imagine when the Upholder class was built in the 1980s, it was built using welding technology of the time. And here we are some 40 years later, there's been a lot of advancement, a lot of innovation in weld procedures. The weld procedures used to build the submarine were British weld procedures, and the submarine is now being maintained in North America. So over the last 15 years, that technology, that innovation, that advancement has been brought to bear to improve how we weld in the submarine, to be more efficient in how we weld in the submarine, and ultimately everything we do ensures that submarine is safe to operate. And, you know, the last thing that maybe I'll highlight with regards to welding is C-SPAN stood up a welding center of excellence a number of years ago. And they've partnered with basically a local university in Vancouver that really helps innovate and advance welding technology on the West Coast. And we here in Victoria benefit greatly from that investment. And we bring those skills and that knowledge to bear on a daily basis as we support Canada's submarines going forward.
I think that's great that you're working with local schools to do that. And I'd be curious, with some of the technologies, I'm imagining this is pretty hands-on, but is there any kind of remote training? Like if somebody was in the field and they wanted to learn about a submarine, or if they wanted to, I don't know, do like a conference video, is that evolved, or is it still pretty much got to be right hands-on at the time?
No, I mean, it's a great point. I mean, there is the use of video technology to do familiarization training, to do general awareness training. But when we're specifically talking about actual welding on board the submarine, you can imagine that you've got to be there and be hands-on. But the technology that is available to help with training and awareness is certainly being utilized as we can.
Yeah, I think it would probably help the whole process for sure. You know, Chris, there's been a fair amount of speculation about Canada's future submarines. Since you've been in this space, you've probably seen it all and got quite a bit of experience. What do you think some of the factors are that are going to be weighed in the future? Is it a game of capabilities? Is it numbers? How do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, a very topical question for sure. you know, and something that is being actively discussed by the Royal Canadian Navy, the Government of Canada, you know, both at the national defense level as well as the political level. And I wouldn't necessarily want to get ahead of that conversation. But having, you know, having been somebody who has, you know, operated in this space, both in uniform and after I've taken my uniform off, you know, what I can say is, you know, I've witnessed firsthand the utility of a submarine in today's environment and the capabilities that it brings to the Royal Canadian Navy and to the Government of Canada are immense. And ultimately, it provides options that otherwise wouldn't exist. And, you know, the second thing that I, you know, that I would offer, which is probably certainly weighing on the minds of decision makers in Ottawa, is that the geopolitical landscape of today is very different than it was even a couple of years ago. The security environment out there is complex. I would suggest that the security situation worldwide is in decline. And that, you know, kind of brings with it, that reality brings with it the need for governments and for militaries around the world to have options in their back pocket that they can utilize as and when are required. And so I think submarines, you know, here in Canada, very, very much play in that space. And, you know, I personally believe there is a need for submarines in Canada. There is a need to control all three elements of the marine domain. So being above the water, on the water, and below the water. Because if you don't have a presence in all three of those domains, it's very difficult to control the space and ultimately keep the sea lines of communication open, which is for a country like Canada, you know, has three very large oceans bordering on our borders, something that is very important for economic stability and the success and the standard of living that we have become accustomed to living.
You know, I'd like to expand on that a little more, if I may. If we could talk about the future of submarine sustainment, what does it look like, not just here in Canada, but around the world? What's your opinion?
Well, I think it looks very similar to what it looks like today. You know, submarines are exposed to seawater. As a result of that exposure and the elements, they require maintenance. They suffer from things like corrosion. And so periodically, submarines in the future will require dry docking and they will require repair and overhaul. And the periodicity of that repair and overhaul will be driven by the design, but nonetheless, it will be required. And so for Canada, you know, one of the key considerations as they look to potentially replace the Victoria-class submarines is how do we maintain as a nation, how do we maintain the complex repair and overhaul capability that I've talked about a couple of times now during that transition? So as the Victoria class phases out and then whatever comes next, how does that phase in? So, you know, for example, the submarine welder who spent 15 years acquiring his or her trade and has become exceptionally proficient at doing submarine welding, how do we make sure that that individual during the period of transition maintains those skills so that ultimately those skills are available for whatever comes next? And I think that will be a big consideration, you know, in the next decade as Canada looks to replace the Victoria class with something else.
And let's face it, Canada needs an ocean-going submarine, right?
If Canada is going to maintain a presence in all three maritime domains, then absolutely it needs a submarine presence.
So in terms of what's next, Chris, what do you see being next for Team Victoria Class and C-SPAN?
Well, I think for Team Victoria class, you know, our focus right now is HMCS Victoria and her extended docking work period. For us, our number one priority is to complete Victoria's extended docking work period on time in 2027 and deliver that submarine back to the Royal Canadian Navy on schedule. So that's our number one priority. And to be honest, that is our sole focus at this time. For C-SPAN, submarine maintenance is one of four programs that we operate here at Victoria Shipyards. We have a surface Navy program, which continues to provide stellar support to the Halifax class that are based on the west coast of Canada. We've got a manufacturing program here in the shipyard that builds small steel foundations, collars, structures, pipe spools for the ships that our sister shipyard in Vancouver are building for the Royal Canadian Navy and for the Canadian Coast Guard. And then we have a very vibrant commercial program, which provides, you know, that complex repair and overhaul capability to cruise ships, to BC ferries, large fishing vessels, and pretty much any large ship that plies trade on the West Coast. And so we will continue to provide those four services to Canada and to our commercial customers.
You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. Had a really interesting show today. We've been diving a little deeper into how to provide complex repair and overhaul capabilities for the Canadian Royal Navy and commercial shipping industry on the West Coast. But we've talked about so much more. We've talked about utilizing technology and innovation, skills in the workforce, and we've talked about the future of submarine sustainment. I'd like to thank my very special guest, Chris Earle, who is Vice President, Project Delivery, Victoria Shipyards with C-SPAN. Chris, thanks so much for coming on to the show today.
Thanks for having me. It's great chatting with you.
I'd also like to mention, Chris, you're going to be at Deep Blue 2023 this year, taking place November 2nd at the Westin Hotel face-to-face, but also available virtually. And looking forward to seeing you guys there. And for those who can't attend face-to-face, please register virtually.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.